Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We're going to be talking about trying to get an understanding more of what's taking place in our culture, what's taking place in society. You know, why are we hearing some things spoken about repetitiously, and what is this Saul Alinsky Rules for Radicals, and how does it apply? And first, we want to go to the author of Coalition. You know, retired Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, who has been going for the last couple of years to Washington, D.C. to be able to help kind of educate and also, share information about what's taking place. And he's sharing what he heard in Washington, D.C. from our leaders, and he's given us some insight about what's taking place. Take a look now. He's at Morningstar sharing at the Oak Initiative.
He knows hummus now, but I got him on a program here where I'm turning him into what I want him to be. He can say y'all. All y'all. Yeah, there's my man. I love this man, and I really do love this man. He's a great Christian brother, but he's also a great American. In fact, he's more American than a lot of the people that I run into in this country today. He loves this country really deeply, passionately loves this country more than a lot of people that were born and raised here. And that's one of the things I respect about him so much. But what we've done is we've changed the dialogue now to where we've got the leadership of the country thinking in terms of the importance of national security, because I'm going to talk a little bit about it. But if you look at A, the threats, and then B, our capabilities to deal with those threats, there's a reason for you to be concerned. There's a reason for you to be worried, because we haven't been addressing the threats. We kind of, after the president had announced that he was going to pull out of Iraq and then he was going to pull out of Afghanistan, we just kind of walked away from the whole issue of national security, and now we are rejuvenating that. You see, when you look at what's going on with this administration, they brought in some of the finest experts that any administration has ever had. I mean, they brought in some tremendous experts, and they're experts in Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. They can tell you those rules, and trust me when I tell you. I sat down one day in a meeting with Jenny Thomas and a bunch of conservative organizations, and Jenny is Clarence's wife. And this little somewhat heavyset lady walks in, and she's a black lady, and she's got, what do you call those things when you, how do you do your hair, Larry? Okay. A bud? Uh-huh. Like yours? Uh-huh. Okay. Anyhow. She walked in and sat down, and I looked at her, and, you know, being judgmental as I am, I thought, she's in the wrong meeting. So what's she doing in here? She don't belong in here. And then Jenny turned to her and said, Anita, tell us who you are. And this woman said, my name is Anita Moncrief. I'm from Houston, Texas, she said. I spent 13 years with ACORN. She said, I'm now on your side, to see, because I know Jesus. But I spent 13 years in ACORN. She said, when I came into ACORN, the first thing they did was they handed me Rules for Radicals, and they said, before you can do anything here, you got to memorize these rules, and you got to be able to explain how they apply. And she said, everything that's happening in this country now, everything the left is doing, I'll tell you what rule they're applying. And it was fascinating, week after week, listening to her talking about what rule we were seeing unfold, what rule was being applied based on Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. And, okay, so here's a test. Who did Saul Alinsky dedicate his book to? Lucifer, the original radical. Okay? Saul Alinsky. So the president brought in some tremendous experts on this, and I'm not joking about this. He also brought in experts on the LGBT agenda. So I'm thinking about it. So much of what he does today can be traced back to the LGBT agenda, the gays and lesbians. And he brought in tremendous experts on climate change. Now, you heard Anna earlier today, and it's really interesting listening to her and Rick and watching the two of them because they're on opposite sides on this issue. But he brought in experts on this. But you know what he didn't bring? He didn't bring any experts on national security. And now his policies are failing miserably because he's got nobody around him that he trusts that can advise him on what to do as we are confronted with a plethora of threats that, like America, has not seen, certainly not in my lifetime.
So we're seeing firsthand, I mean, he's going to Washington, he's talking to the leaders, he's talking to 13, 15 years, whatever, with ACORN. Remember, ACORN was the name of the organization that we heard about early on, and it's just a community organizing organization. But she said the first thing they do is hand copy of Rules for Radicals, which, you know, we talk about quite often, but today we're going to break it down a little more. You might be able to even see it. It's Rules for Radicals. It's dedicated to Lucifer, the first one to use these kind of rules to be able to get his own kingdom, they say. And it was written by Saul Alinsky. And the back cover tells us that who actually were mentored by Saul Alinsky, which was Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama during their times in their community organizers. The reports are, too, that our president was the attorney for ACORN for approximately 4 years or something. I don't know how many years it was, but it's just allegedly that he was the attorney for him. But it's community organizing, and the thing about it is, like, organizing is not bad if, in fact, God's organizing. But if we're organizing against God, that is not good. And you think about this. I mean, you look at these constant things that are taking place in our culture right now, and we're seeing all these things take place that just don't even make sense. And even when you think about Jay Johnson with the Homeland Security, I mean, look what's happening. Christians are being beheaded in Oklahoma. First Amendment rights, there are people lurking outside to shoot people in Garland, Texas for First Amendment rights. Sharia courts are going up in northern Texas. So we have all these things taking place, and Christians losing their head in Libya, you know, in northern Africa, in Libya, on the shores of Tripoli. But of all the things that our Homeland Security is saying, when they're texting and tweeting and saying we're going to get a nuclear weapon, we're going to do all these different things, we're going to harm America, our Homeland Security is saying this. Check this out, what our Homeland Security, Jay Johnson, said. And it was put out on a National Day of Prayer. But listen to what he said.
We in the administration and the government should give voice to the plight of Muslims living in this country and the discrimination that they face. And so I've personally committed to speak out about the situation that very often people in the Muslim community in this country face, the fact that there are 1.6 billion Muslims in the world and that the Islamic faith is one about peace and brotherhood.
I would potentially say the Christians who are losing their head, being killed, raped, sold into slavery, Israel who's being surrounded by people who want to destroy them, people warring against our own constitution, the enemy, you know, it's not Islam that's under assault. It's actually the American Constitution, it is Christianity, and it is Israel. It's the Jews that are under that kind of thing. But you think about, why would he even say that? Well, that's basic Saul Alinsky. When you start seeing clarity come, you'll hear a narrative repeated over and over and over again. Saul Alinsky says in his book, Rules for Radicals, that if you repeat a lie long enough, it becomes truth to people. I mean, how many times do you talk to someone, and you're listening to them and said, you know, where did you hear that? And they're actually talking as if they're speaking in authority about what they're talking about. But they just heard some talking head say something on TV who was reading it from a prompter that he or she didn't even write themselves, that somebody else wrote in a back room somewhere, and they're quoting themselves, you know, and it's like, we got to find out what's really going on. This is one nation under God, right? It is a Judeo-Christian nation. Its founding documents say that. We not necessarily always lived up to that, but that's who we are as a nation. And when you have radical Islam trying to come in and establish a caliphate, I mean, even President Sisi of Egypt is saying that, you know, Islam has to be reformed. We cannot have this radical 1.6 billion Muslims in the earth trying to kill another, you know, 1.6 million, 6 billion Christians or something of that nature. I mean, even the president of Egypt, who actually had to fight his way to become president there because our country empowered the Muslim Brotherhood to be able to put President Morsi in place there. And they're headed in the right direction. What's going on in America? What's taking place? We're just being organized. We're being organized by a technique taught, well, it's been around since Lucifer. That's why they credited it to him, because Lucifer organized one third of the angels against God in the presence of God. If he could do that, we have to pay attention. We have to pay close attention and say, you know, we don't want to be organized by man. We want to be able to follow God. But you have to make a choice. You have to make a choice and say, you know, am I going to follow God, or I'm going to actually, you know, demand a king like everyone else? I want somebody to fight all my battles for me. We're going to talk more about Rules for Radicals and break it down a little bit, because you'll see this continual narrative like social media is being used by radical Islam. Turn it off. They don't. You know why? Because you have to have a sustained militant effort and a fear of terror to be able to accomplish what you want to do in regards to Rules for Radicals.
We're talking about this Rules for Radicals, Saul Alinsky, Jay Johnson. Think about this. Homeland security. It's sort of like saying, you know, you're going into the librarian and you're saying, you know, I need a book on the history of, you know, Thomas Jefferson. And they go, well, let me swing out there and work on your car first.
Right.
It's like, I just came here for a book. I didn't come here to work as, you know, I didn't think you were going to be a mechanic.
Right.
Well, I definitely didn't think you were going to be an advocate for some religion as a Homeland Security, seeing that we should make no laws concerning religion in the First Amendment.
First Amendment, hello.
So our Homeland Security shouldn't be, and then NASA, you know, remember NASA's like, we gotta make this, you know, more friendly to involve Islam into the NASA.
It's like, shouldn't y'all be looking at stars?
I mean, yeah, what's up with that? And now we don't have the program. And so when you're looking at this, you think about some of the rules, and just glancing at some of the rules here for Saul Alinsky, it'll make sense. First of all, one of the rules, these are actual key words used in these rules. One is deception. You know, the reports are, we have an interview with President Barack Obama's pastor.
Jeremiah Wright,
you know, he's no longer his pastor, but he said, you know, he specifically said in this interview was, he said that he was told, your problem is you have to tell the truth, you know, and that wouldn't be the first politician that felt that way, you know what I'm saying? And it's called misspoke.
Yeah.
Misspoke. Sorry, Daniel. Here's the lines, Daniel. Yeah. We misspoke. Then you have to polarize. And the polarize is you have to divide everything. And so you see all this division taking place. And understand, Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, retired, said, I'm meeting with officials, I'm meeting with the leaders. You know, that's Clarence Thomas's wife.
Yes.
And the judge. And they're saying these, you know, all these leaders came in how to do, you know, the Rules for Radicals, how to do Saul Alinsky's techniques. Just to let you know that Hillary Clinton, as you can even see on the back cover of this book, Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama both were trained and mentored by this. She even did her thesis on this particular, on this man and on his work. And she calls it the revelation. And if you think about it, if you call people that are mentored by the same person brother and sister, then you would say that Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton are, I don't know how, you know, siblings don't always get along,
right?
But you've got the same thing inside of you.
Sure.
And some of the concepts are based on some reports, allegedly, that, you know, her dispute with Saul Alinsky was that it could be done from the inside, and he thought, you know, that it can only be done from the outside. Mm-hmm. In other words, you have to come and attack authority from the outside, and she thought, the reports are, and you can read her, we'll actually hopefully make her whole thesis available to you, her paper for college available to you, at least a link to get to it. And from the inside, well, it looks like, you know, she's trying out her theory, and so was, that was when that meeting that they took place. There was a meeting that took place. This should totally make sense. What you have is that we're being organized by men. But it's not the first time. If you read Acts chapter 4, I mean, they're talking about it. You know, why do kings wage war against you? Why do they conspire against you and your people, God? I mean, it's always happened like that. And God always wins out over that.
Always.
But suffrage comes in because of that. And if we'll wake up now, what it is a storm being fashioned against, you know, God's people. But will we wake up? You know, in a future interview, hopefully this week, you know, with T.D. Jakes, we're going to be hearing more about. We're going to have, you know, God's getting our attention. We've got to begin to walk out the ways of Jesus. We can't, this theory stuff has got to go. But I know that, but some of this polarization is some of the other techniques and rules for radicals. One of the rules, another is to ridicule. You know, when you see grown folks saying stuff, you're like, is that what I heard that when I was in school?
Exactly.
People talking back and forth. And it's
childish.
Like, but that's just part of it. As a matter
Yale
of fact,
graduate, Yale graduate.
There's an interview that we have with Bill Ayers with Megyn Kelly, just a piece of it. But he wore in a shirt to that interview that said ridicule on his shirt as he was walking in. But that's just part of.
Wow.
And some of the reports are that, you know, before, you know, the president decided to go this route, you know, go to the presidency or Senate. That, you know, and if I'm an organizer, I'm going to get together with organizers and that's going to happen.
Sure.
But the reports are, according to Megyn Kelly, it took place at Bill Ayers' living room in his house. And Bill Ayers is the one that openly, admittedly, you know,
unashamedly
was involved in blowing up all kinds of governmental buildings and involved in somehow, you know, systematic. Matter of fact, watch Megyn Kelly talk about it right now on Fox News.
I'm Megyn Kelly. Professor Jonathan Turley and Britt Hume are both here in moments to talk about that developing story. But first, reaction coming in from law enforcement across the country after part one of our exclusive interview with Bill Ayers, the Vietnam-era radical who admits to terrorizing this country and committing many crimes. Later tonight, we'll be joined by three men who investigated Bill Ayers and his group, the Weather Underground, for a lengthy list of crimes. Remember, Bill Ayers got away scot-free and went on to become an early supporter of President Obama's. And that is where tonight's story begins.
It was in his living room that a then unknown Barack Obama launched his political career. A domestic terrorist who avoided real jail time and isn't sorry for bombing America. Bill Ayers, co-founder of the radical Weather Underground, admits his group bombed 20 targets, including the Pentagon, the U.S. Capitol, and the State Department, all to protest the Vietnam War and other left-wing causes of the 70s. His wife, Bernadine Dorn, was a fully committed participant, a woman who is said to have praised Charles Manson and who wound up on the FBI's most wanted list.
Now we are everywhere, and next week families and tribes will attack the enemy around the country. We are not just attacking targets. We are bringing a pitiful, helpless giant to its knees.
The bombs mostly caused major property damage, but Ayers and his cohorts would up the violent rhetoric, and eventually the group turned murderous.
What we wanted to do here was deliver the most horrific hit that the United States government had ever suffered on its territory. We wanted to light it up. Our slogan was bring the war home, and we really wanted to give the United States and the rest of the world a sense that this country was going to be completely unlivable if the United States continued in Vietnam.
In 1970, three of Ayers' comrades prepared a nail bomb intended to execute military families at a dance in New Jersey. But the explosives went off prematurely, and Ayers' friends were killed in the blast.
These weathermen people were actually randomly bombing and intended to kill people. At that point, pressure came all the way from the White House to catch these people. It was very, very high pressure.
By 1981, their former weatherman colleagues were at it again, this time robbing a Brinks truck and killing two police officers and a security guard in the process. Their goal, to steal more than $1 million, all in the name of redistributing wealth. Ayers and Dorn remain close to the killers to this day and refused to help prosecutors investigate the crime. Ayers and Dorn might also be in jail today, but the FBI broke the law in pursuing them, and in the end, no case was brought. When Ayers became a household name during Barack Obama's presidential run, the now college professor kept his silence for a time, and 6 years later, he walked into the Fox News headquarters and sat down exclusively with the Kelly file. Part one of our shocking interview aired on the show last night.
How many bombings are you responsible for?
Weather Underground, I think, took credit for just slightly over 20.
You and your group were calling for more violence. What we saw in February of 1970, February 16th, was San Francisco police officer Brian McDonald, a 44-year-old father of two and husband, was killed when a bomb went off at his police station and eight other police officers were injured in that blast. Now, your wife, Bernadine Dorn, has been accused of that crime. Do you deny it?
Absolutely deny it. Absolutely nothing to do with it.
Bernadine Dorn was not a fan of the police and referred to them typically as pigs.
Well, that was, again, the inflated rhetoric of the time.
5 days after that San Francisco bombing that took the life of Officer Brian McDonald, the Weather Underground bombed John Murtaugh's home. John Murtaugh was...
That's also not true.
It's not true?
No, it's not true.
In your book with Bernadine, you quote the Weather Underground communique, and you say as follows, and I'm quoting now, 2 weeks before the townhouse explosion, which is a different bomb, four members of this group had firebombed Judge Murtaugh's house in New York as an action to support the Panther 21, whose trial was just beginning.
I didn't write that.
It's in your book.
Which book?
It's your book with Bernadine. It's on the board right there. Who will put it?
Race course.
It's from one of your communiques. You guys got to the point where you considered murder, and you acknowledged that yourself. It got to the point where the property damage wasn't good enough for you, and you decided on mass murder, planning to bomb a military dance. You understand, Professor, is that what began for your group as outrage over mass killings then turned into a plan to kill hundreds of Americans? Did you not see the moral high ground?
Did you not see the moral high ground? Mm. And you think about this, that even on his shirt when he was coming in, it said ridicule. Well, one of the rules for radicals in Saul Alinsky's book, which I believe he was probably in jail about the same time, was to ridicule, to be able to ridicule. Some of it is to have organized, unceasing pressure. And we're going to talk about that, because what you're experiencing in America right now is organized, unceasing pressure, terrorizing threats. These are actual rules and rules for radicals. You know, this, you know, is amazing. Glenn Beck and his stand, his biblical stand, you know, it's an amazing thing. And so one of the roles for radicals, several of them are, is ridicule, but a sustained militant interest. You have to have a sustained militant, like it's got to be like, you know, a drumbeat. And they had a big problem with this in the 60s because they didn't have electronics, they didn't have technology, they didn't have people that were willing to stay in there that long. And if you would actually see those whole interviews, hopefully we'll make those interviews available to you on the VFN Torch for Megyn Kelly, at least a link to get to them, is... they begin to rob people, steal things to be able to sustain their movement. And so printing money is not a big deal. Yeah. Right? And so a sustained militant interest. So what would you think today would be in regards to how the organizing of the world's being taken place, how we're to respond to that is, well, radical Islam is being used. I mean, if somebody was using me to get their will, I mean, I would be offended, sure, the cause or whatever, but... Because radical Islam, though it's violent, though these things are taking place, America's strength is much more powerful than this element.
Right.
But it's actually being promulgated. It's being promulgated, and that the pressure is happening. And they're trying to keep the pressure on. You got to keep the pressure on, according to Saul Alinsky, according to, you know, Hillary Clinton and President Barack Obama, when they taught these things, techniques. And you heard from Lieutenant General Boykin, who's saying, you know, that this is what they're doing. And somebody from Acorn saying, everybody that's involved, you have to get that book.
They have to know them in and out.
And so and then they have to have organized, unceasing pressure. Well, that's what's going on. Organized, unceasing pressure. Even our own Homeland Security, Jay Johnson, is trying to keep the narrative out there. You know, it's like, oh, you know, we need to defend the people who are, you know, who are somehow connected and related, especially what you'll hear in a little bit from President Sisi, in regards to Islam and how it's all connected, and he's saying that needs to be purged out. And so keeping that narrative going, you got to have some sort of alternative narrative. Another particular rule talks about terrorizing threats. Because, you know, why do these things happen? Because they have to get you to buy in to, you're not going to make it, you know, it's going to be terrible, you know, the world's coming to an end, you know, America's over, you know, the Constitution's ending, you're weak, you're powerless, you know, and all of a sudden you go, you know, give us Hitler. You know, all of a sudden Hitler comes in and goes, this is what he did. He came in and he said, you know, I'll give you jobs. You know, I'll give you food. Mm. You know, I'll take care of you. I'll take the pressure off. and they voted him. They voted Hitler in.
Wow.
And so you have a two-part situation going on right here. Probably the plan is a 16-year plan that has, you know, first 8 years of a brother who was bringing polarization and militant effort and pressure and organized unceasing pressure, terrorist threats. And all of a sudden, the next 8 years of that 16 years is somebody who's going to settle and take things to a whole new place again. If that was, you know, I don't know, but that just seems like if they're brother and sister and that's what's going on. In the same way that, you know, Jeb and George are brothers, you know, sister and brothers. And so when you hear things like what you're about to see right now, the best thing that could have happened in the 60s to the Weather Underground and these guys who were using Saul Alinsky's techniques was to be able to have something like Facebook and Twitter, because they got to be able to communicate and constantly change the narrative. You know, Marshall Gantz said on the Bill Moyer show, who was, you know, part of organizing in history and still today, and even worked on the president's campaign in the first run. And he said that, you know, one of the difficult things was to keep everybody focused, and you got to constantly come up with basically new motivating things, because they kind of, you know, it gets drag. I think the word they use in the book is the 60. It becomes drag. So you have to get them excited, which means, you know, it comes boring. So you have to, you know, keep them going. And that's what they're doing. So now when you see this report from CBN News, it's going to make sense to you. Because you're going to hear Jay Johnson in there all of a sudden start talking about, like, you know, this new social media age, you know, and that the terrorists are using social media. That's sort of like saying that, you know, radical terrorists are using the butter served at restaurants. It's like, stop serving butter.
Right.
You know, turn off Facebook. If Facebook is our issue, if social media is our issue, you know, but they're keeping it out there and kind of keep the narrative. And they have you even watch this. Now, look at it from a different perspective. Look at this as a perspective now that, you know, General Borking and everybody that's talking about that this is what's taking place. These Alinsky tactics are being used. Sustained militant effort, terrorist threats. Watch.
Great.
Government officials are deeply concerned about the threat that ISIS poses in the U.S. and that it's getting worse. The deadly assault on a cartoon exhibit in Texas last weekend has only heightened the alarm.
And now a top CIA veteran is warning it's only a matter of time before the jihadist group decides to launch a 9/11 style attack on American soil.
If we don't get ISIS under control, we're going to see that kind of attack, said Michael Morrell in a USA Today interview. Homeland Security Chief Jay Johnson says Americans should continue to go to public events, but at the same time, be vigilant. The Pentagon, meanwhile, has ordered U.S. military bases to upgrade their force protection condition status because of concerns about ISIS. Public officials say one reason ISIS poses such a threat is because of its smart use of social media.
We're very definitely in a new environment because of ISIL's effective use of social media, the internet, which has the ability to reach into the homeland and possibly inspire others.
The top Democrat on the Senate Intelligence Committee says the U.S. should not underestimate this social media power.
I think it is kill, kill, kill. And it is putting the lone wolf in a position that's never happened before, that has never been in before. And that is, you know, you do it and we take credit for it.
And some lawmakers are also concerned that a recent ruling against the National Security Agency and its collection of phone records hurts our ability to counter ISIS.
Well, it's real simple. That turns us back to pre-9/11.
So government officials have several reasons to be concerned about the threat ISIS poses in the U.S., a threat that is clearly getting worse. Heather Sells, CBN News.
So you're looking at a sustained militant effort. Mm-hmm. That's what's taking place. And the thing about it is like, okay, we're getting it. This is not real.
Right.
This is a facade. No, this is a facade, right? And they're trying to create this fear. You know, one president said, you have nothing to fear but fear itself. I mean, you have to begin to get confidence in God. Mm. And the last thing, the people who should be fearing are those who proclaim to be, you know, sons and daughters of God, right, the creator of the universe. And so, I mean, thinking about like social media, oh, we want you to continue to go to public events, but be on your guard.
Right.
You know, we're going to, upgrade the bases and get them prepared for battle. But because of their smart use of social media, it's like
crazy.
And the thing about it is, a lot of people that are walking on the earth today weren't even born or aware of what was going on 9/11. Mm-hmm. There, you may have a lot of history in your knowledge, and you're thinking, "What's wrong with folks?"
Right?
They don't have history. I mean, I don't think they're even teaching history in regards to the authentic
and no context.
No context is going on. And so you're looking at this, these militant things going on. You think, what's going on? This is like bipolar people, right? They're like bipolar and they got up and down. Well, guess what? Publishing bipolar narratives is one of the rules that you got to have in Rules for Radicals. You think when people start arguing about one point, they'll just change it to another point. You think, what's going on? This is what's going on, I believe. God is saying, are you going to look to man? Is a storm being fashioned against you? Are you going to look to me? There's the storm. It's ever before you. Men are conspiring against me. Men are conspiring against my people. What are you going to do? Am I God enough? Am I big enough, he's saying, to be able to encounter this? Or do you think, and this has been going on since Lucifer in the presence of God, organizing a third of the angels. And think about it. If a third of the angels got organized in the presence of God, against God, and of course the consequences were they got thrown out of heaven, we got to be on our guard and be aware. We cannot just sit silently by while people are saying, get on the trains, go to the ghettos, get in the showers, get in the ovens. I mean, you got to wake up that great loss of life is already happening in the earth. And and potentially, some of the things the Lord is showing us, if we don't wake up, there's going to be a great loss of life. And some of the things that was interesting that the Lord showed me prophetically in a night vision was of all the people that were, their lives were lost, they were being taken to the Eastern Gate cemetery. To me, that means, Christians, the risk is, Christians losing their life. And since then, we're starting to see Christians across, they're calling it a Christian Holocaust taking place. And guess what? America, is probably 73%, profess to be Christians in America.
At least.
And we have to wake up and understand that that's not a good thing on Lucifer's tech list, but God can handle that if we actually begin to follow him. And so you have our own Homeland Security, saying, we need to just, poor Islam, poor Muslims, and that, Christians are the ones being beheaded in on what you're seeing, or people that are not
on
Muslim.
On American soil.
Not a Muslim enough, and type thing. But this is what this particular nun says, out of in the Middle East. She's there, and she's ministering, and she just says it like it is. I want you to watch this and understand what she says about Jay Johnson's comments. I mean, she didn't say directly, but the words he says, she clarifies what they mean. Watch.
Some are calling it genocide. From Kenya to Syria to Pakistan, Muslim fanatics are slaughtering Christians. While Western governments have been slow to respond, activists are answering the call. Eric Stackelbeck recently spoke to a nun who's on a dangerous mission to help persecuted Christians.
The Islamic terror group ISIS is leaving a trail of destruction across large parts of Syria and Iraq with a specific target in its crosshairs.
Hundreds of thousands of Christians have been displaced from their homes, and countless others have been murdered or enslaved by the jihadist armies of ISIS with no end in sight.
Sister Hatun Dogan has been on the ground and witnessed the devastation of these ancient Christian communities. She's listened to survivors tell how Christian and Yazidi women are being sold into sex slavery.
They choose the most beautiful one, even if they have small child, and they sell these girls, these ladies, to each other. They don't sell to another religion, only to Sunni Muslim. They think there are 12,000 kidnapped in the hand of the ISIS Yazidi alone. What is going on there, what I was hearing, is the highest barbarism on the earth in the history till today.
Her foundation helps the poor and persecuted in 35 countries, providing them with food, clothing, medicine, and shelter. She travels constantly with a special focus on the Muslim world. The rise of ISIS has frequently brought her to Syria and Iraq to help the region's beleaguered Christian minority.
I'm coming here not for holiday. I'm coming here because I like to bring the voice of the voiceless, that the world hear their voice. They don't have voice more. I am the the channel for them. That is my mission.
Sister Hatun is no stranger to Islamic persecution. As a young girl, threats from local Muslims forced her family to leave their home in Turkey. They relocated to Germany, where she operates her foundation and sounds the alarm about the gathering Islamic storm.
The mission of Baghdadi, of the ISIS, is to convert, complete the world to Islam religion and to bring them to Dar es Salaam, they call that. And Islam is not peace, please. And who says ISIS has not with Islam in connection or something like this is not true. He's a liar. ISIS is Islam. Islam is ISIS.
She's disappointed by what she calls a weak reaction from the West.
We know, according to the Quran, no democracy. Till these verses, no democracy. Islam democracy is opposite, like black and white. And that I hope that America will understand. America has today the power that they can stop this disaster on the earth with another Western country.
As for Sister Hatun, she says she'll keep calling attention to the plight of followers of Jesus around the world, whether the West wants to hear it or not. Eric Stackelbeck, CBN News, Washington.
So she's right in the middle of it, and we want to hear one more time what Jay Johnson, Homeland Security, said, and based on what she's saying about the, watch one more time. Watch Jay Johnson, Homeland Security of America.
We in the administration and the government should give voice to the plight of Muslims living in this country and the discrimination that they face. And so I've personally committed to speak out about the situation that very often people in the Muslim community in this country face. The fact that there are 1.6 billion Muslims in the world and that the Islamic faith is one about peace and brotherhood.
So we're looking at 565 then. What does she say? What is this nun saying about what's going on? Take a look one more time.
ISIS has not with Islam in connection or something like this. It's not true. He's a liar. ISIS is Islam. Islam is ISIS.
So I guess there you go. That's it. And
there's even more. There's a state.
Yeah. Wow. So you're looking at, in regards to when you're setting up how you're going to do this Rules for Radicals stuff, and it looks from the very beginning in the Cairo speech, the stage was being set.
This is the first international speech a president makes.
Yeah, I believe in 2008, and we have it for you on the torch. But the first, and he specifically set things at that point, it looks like they or whoever, that, okay, we're going to, the militant force that we're going to use, the narrative that we're going to use, we're going to use Islam. Mm-hmm. We're going to use the Muslim Brotherhood, who was illegal, and reports are that it was illegal for them to even be in active in Egypt, as Mubarak was the president. And we invited them to the Cairo speech, you know, reportedly, allegedly, 8 members of them sat there, and it wasn't long before one of them was president. And that got changed. Then you hear Michelle Bachmann, Congressman Michelle Bachmann, talk about, you know, that. As a matter of fact, I want you to watch this. Watch the president saying here at the Cairo speech. He specifically said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to focus on defending Islam from every negative stereotype. Watch this.
So I have known Islam on 3 continents before coming to the region where it was first revealed. That experience guides my conviction that partnership between America and Islam must be based on what Islam is, not what it isn't. And I consider it part of my responsibility as President of the United States to fight against negative stereotypes of Islam wherever they appear.
So it just seems like, you know, that you're looking at Homeland Security and the focus that's going on, and we're seeing, you know, that, you know, it looks like radical jihadists are being used to be defended. Able to, that a militant force, as a matter of fact, even at the United Nations, when the president was saying the future must, take a look at the president speaking to the United Nations about that.
The future must not belong to those who slander the prophet of Islam.
So you think about that, it's like, there seems to be some defense of not America, but Islam and Muslims. First of all, God loves Muslims, you know, that, but we're talking about what Alinsky rules for radicals. this whole narrative, the bipolar narrative of America, means something that's totally, you know, if a bipolar person is struggling with bipolarness is somebody that says, you know, he's Jim one day and he's Bob the next,
right?
You know, and a bipolar narrative for America is, you know, a caliphate. You know, the Quran is like the bipolar narrative of a Judeo-Christian nation. Mm. And so you have this bipolar argument going on, and it looks like, you know, our president is, you know, looks like he's using Islam as a tool to be able to do the techniques of Rules for Radicals. And Jay Johnson, who is leaving so much doubt, go to public events, but we're not really sure, but they've gotten really smart at using social media. Right. While someone's getting her head cut off in Oklahoma, an American citizen, and nobody's really even talking about it because she would not even convert. I mean, think about, you know, Ann Graham. She's beginning to say this May Day, right? Mm-hmm. She's putting it out. You know, share with us real briefly, if you would, you know, about this is so important.
Ann Graham recently spoke at the Cove, which is the Billy Graham Training Center, and she was speaking on Joel 1 and 2. She preached some messages, and she really believes that the end is near. The church is going to be raptured. But before that, we're going to face some difficult trials and tribulations, and we're going to be going through some judgment. And she's talking about how she feels that she needs to declare a call to intercession. May the 15th through the 23rd is a call, May Day, May Day.
That's exactly what I heard in my spirit, yes. And we had it on the program. May the 1st was just like, May Day, May Day,
yes.
May Day. I know that John Kilpatrick, Pastor John Kilpatrick out of Church of His Presence, is like, hold on. You know, everything that can be tested is about to be tested. Everything that could be shook is going to be shook. But go ahead, yes.
Yeah, so May the 15th through the 23rd, it's a call for intercession. It's a time to pray. And we're going to ask God, you know, to spare America, to spare the church.
Yes, and he responds to that. It's not like, you know, these things happen, so we'll turn back to him.
Yes.
It's not like, should I even show up after being so bad and doing this terrible thing or doing the wrong thing? That's the reason why this has happened. He already knows our sin.
Right.
But if we'll just turn to him and say, forgive us for that sin. John, can you lead us?
Yes.
Can you take a moment? Because beginning to understand that, you know, this stuff's being set up, but this is nothing but men conspiring against what God's plans and the things going on. The question is, you know, will we turn to God? You know, will we turn to the Lord?
Yes.
And I just want to encourage you right now, you know, that maybe you're hearing this and you're fearful, and it's not to be fearful. It's actually to turn to the Lord, and God comes and rescues us. If you could lead us in
a
prayer.
Father, we know,
that.
God, that no plan, no strategy, the enemy, Lord, can prosper against your people, Father. And so we just pray right now to continue to give your church eyes to see, ears that hear, God, and a heart that will obey your word. Father, we come against all strategies that would try to divide this nation, that would try to hurt this nation, God, that would take us down. And
cancel
we pray
them.
For this outpouring, Lord. We agree. Yes. May day, may,
may
day,
may day.
We turn our hearts to you, Lord,
yes.
And we call for repentance. And for your favor to pour out on this nation again, in Jesus' name we pray.
Yeah, and Father God, we just pray that you would set your angels about these
yes.
borders, that you can protect the borders of this nation, Father God, and that you would forgive us, God, for where we went wrong and turn us back. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.